Welcome into the Locked On Knicks podcast. I'm Gavin Shaw, going solo on this Saturday morning. Alex has the day off, and we are getting into the Knicks' incredible 113-98 comeback victory over the defending champion Milwaukee Bucks. We'll talk about how Derrick Rose regained his MVP form. We will talk about an impressive night and a return to form in its own right from Julius Randle, the Knicks' shoddy defense in the first quarter, and so much more along the way of the story of this incredible, incredible Knicks win. All that and more right now on Locked On Knicks.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I think we see Willis coming out. There he comes right now.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast. Thank you, as always, for making Locked On Knicks your first listen today and every day. We're available on all platforms where you can get podcasts, including, and you know this if you're already watching there, on YouTube. Isn't that amazing? And today's episode is brought to you by McDonald's. This episode of Locked On Knicks specifically is brought to you by McDonald's. Proudly serving community since 1965, McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's an unofficial community center. A big thank you to our friends at McDonald's for always being there. I'm loving it. And I'm also loving, maybe even a tad more than McDonald's, the Knicks 113-98 victory over the Milwaukee Bucks. It was a monumental win, not only in the sense that the Knicks, coming off a two-game losing streak, coming off a lot of questions that, if you missed it, Alex Wolf addressed with the great John Schmelk of WFAN in a pod earlier this week. It was a comeback for the ages. This, according to Knicks PR on Twitter, this game marks the first time in franchise history that the Knicks have overcome a 20-point deficit to record a double-digit victory since the NBA began tracking play-by-play in box scores during the 1997-1998 season. It is worth knowing that at one point, it was as much as a 43-point turnaround for the New York Knicks. They were down by 21 in the first quarter, and they came all the way back to take a 22-point lead. I guess it must have been a 23-point lead, right? Because, no, 20. They were down by 21, and then they got up by 22. Yeah, sorry, bad at math. It was 112-90. And, incredible run for the New York Knicks. So we'll get into it more in segment number two. But the defense was pretty horrific in the first quarter. They were just inexplicably it's not inexplicable to double Giannis, but the Knicks were doing it in such a way that left Grayson Allen to outscore them 14-13. And when I say them, I mean the entire Knicks team for one portion of this game, which was kind of nuts. I mean, he was just raining open threes and no one really seemed to care. The Bucks were playing extremely well offensively. Beyond that, the Knicks were really, really struggling on the other end. RJ Barrett didn't get off to a great start. More notably, Evan Fournier didn't actually score until there were 2 minutes left in the second quarter. Kemba Walker did not score until the opening minute of the third quarter. Julius Randle was fine, but nothing amazing in the first. And it just felt like a sense of a team that was falling apart a little bit after a 5-1 start to the season. Didn't really have much rhythm. And it seemed like this was going to be a game that we came out of with a whole lot of questions about where this team was headed, whether the first couple of games were just a mirage sort of built on the fact that the schedule was extremely weak. And then Derrick Rose in the second unit came in and this entire game flipped. I'll give you guys another amazing stat. This one of two from the great Fred Katz of The Athletic, someone we would love to have on the podcast at some point. Fred, if you're a listener, open invite. According to Fred, the Knicks outscored the Bucks by 31 minutes in this game. They outscored the Bucks by 31 points in the 30 minutes that Derrick Rose was on the floor. The Bucks outscored the Knicks by 16 points in the 18 minutes that Rose was on the bench. You do the math yourself. That is a 47-point swing and representative of the impact that Derrick Rose has had on this team all season long. This one from our friend Jonathan Macri. In just under 200 minutes this year, the Knicks have a positive 21.7 net rating when Rose is on the court. That is second over 200 players who have played at least 8 games this season. So all of that supports, as someone we might have on this weekend, a point by our guy Prez that he made when he was on the pod. And he said, you know, we're all so hyped about Kemba Walker. I being Prez in this sense, a massive, massive Kemba Walker fan. I think he is going to change this team. I think he's going to shoot the ball extremely well. It is so, so cool that he's playing in New York. Despite all of that, there is a good chance that Derrick Rose is ultimately the Knicks' best point guard this year. That is coming to fruition in front of our eyes as Kemba looks like someone who is adjusting to, I think, declining physically a little bit, who is having to adjust on nights where he's not just a flamethrower from three-point range, which, again, have been few and far between, because Kemba has been one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA so far this year. He has to adjust to, I mean, this is his whole career, but has to continue to adjust to getting attacked on defense constantly. It's a season of Kemba learning his limitations and still being a fantastic player despite them. Someone who for his entire career in Charlotte was the alpha, the omega, the sun, the moon, the stars, the ocean, whatever geological body or solar body you want to throw out there. He was everything to that team. And then he was not option number one on Boston, but there were stretches where he was option number one in Boston. Now in New York, he is option 3 or 4, depending on the night, especially with the emergence of RJ Barrett, who had his 5th straight 20-point game in this one. All that being said, Derrick Rose, let's stop burying the lead. Derrick Rose was spectacular in this game. He looked like, I don't even want to say his MVP form, because there were flashes of that athleticism, of course, but even beyond that, he showed a savvy and obviously the shooting ability that he just didn't have when he was a younger player. 23 points, 8 boards, 4 assists, 2 steals, and was taking advantage of, again, arguably the NBA's best point guard defender in Drew Holiday time and time again. I'll go through the plays. Comes in, or checks in rather, 9 minutes into the first quarter, and then doesn't sit until halftime. Started off his day with a layup, then threw one of the best passes of this early season when RJ was streaking ahead of him in transition, and Rose kind of threw it sort of skimmed the length of the floor. It's like a little, I want to say a pocket pass, but it was just a great bounce pass, and it hit RJ right in stride. RJ, of course, blew the reverse layup, but doesn't take away from the pass. A great sequence. Alec Burks threw the ball away. Thanasis Antetokounmpo, who inexplicably was starting for the Bucks, saved it. Nerlens got it. Nerlens was back, by the way. Nerlens was great, but we'll save that. Nerlens got it, threw it over to Rose. Rose lobbed it to Obi for a flush. That was a fun play. Rose cut across the lane for a runner a couple possessions later, then went right around Thanasis Antetokounmpo for another layup. Then got beat by Drew got right by Drew Holiday. And then this was one of my favorite drives of the night. So he's on the right wing. This is like halfway through the second quarter. He deaccelerates as if he was either going to get a screen from Obi Toppin or hand it off to Obi Toppin. You could see Drew Holiday relaxes for a second, and then Rose is right by him, bending the edge, beating him to the rim for a layup. And that, more than anything else, that is vintage Derrick Rose right there. The next play was also vintage Derrick Rose. I mean, this gave me flashbacks to Chicago. He was in semi-transition and had like this is just dirty up and under, going from one side of the rim to the other. And I was like, oh, wow. Yeah, that is the guy who everyone thought was going to quite literally run this league for a decade before a myriad of injuries, before missing right around 300 games in his career. Rose started off the second half, a left wing 3. Then another one of my favorite plays on the day, speed dribble into a hard stop and then just nailing a 3-point bomb in Giannis's eye. I mean, that was MVP on MVP violence. Then he got another layup, had a casual long 2 on the right side. And that's when you know Derrick Rose is cooking, when he's just draining 19 footers off the dribble. That is not really normal for him. That was pretty much it on the night for Derrick Rose, but just a masterclass. I'm so fascinated to see when the games get big, when the Knicks get into the playoffs. Maybe that's an assumption, but look, this is a 6-3 team, right? That's not nothing through 9 games. Will Derrick Rose be the starting point guard? I think it'll be similar to what the Spurs always did with Manu Ginobili, where in a do or die game or maybe a 2-2 series, that's when you pull out that trick if you're Tom Thibodeau. But I think he likes the rhythm the Knicks are developing with Kemba Walker. And I think he understands that. I mean, similar to last year, obviously it's very different because Kemba is a whole different level of player than an Elfrid Payton. No one needs me to say that, but it's true. I think Kemba is still good with the starting lineup because of his shooting and the fact that, again, at this point in his career, he probably should be a third or fourth option mostly. While Rose is showing that, especially with the bench, he still has the ability to be the alpha dog. And he got some great minutes with the starters in this one. Like, I loved when they went Rose, IQ, RJ, Randall, Mitch. That was a lineup that all of us begged for last year and spent the last year arguing would ultimately be the Knicks' best possible lineup. So suffice it to say, I was a big fan of the performance from Derrick Rose tonight. But with that, let's take our first break. We'll come back and we'll talk Julius Randle. We'll talk Nerlens Noel. We'll talk the Knicks defense, all of the above. But first, we wanted to remind you this episode of Locked On Knicks is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's a place where friends and family can come to reconnect, a place where classmates can meet up for a study group, knowing they'll have dependable Wi-Fi and endless supplies of French fries and McFlurries. Win or lose, it's a place where teammates, competitors, the home team, or the away team can come to recharge. It's the place you always look forward to stopping at on a long road trip to rest your legs and refuel. You can come in after a Little League game. You can stop at McDonald's after a big sporting event. Connect to Wi-Fi when you need to get work done. Have a birthday party there. I remember when I was younger, I always used to go to the McDonald's play pens, and those were a lot of fun. You can grab McDonald's after a busy day or when you're late to get something and need something delicious and dependable. There's a myriad of options. So head to your local McDonald's to refuel and reconnect. Did someone say Locked On Knicks watch party? I'm loving it. Anywho, let's also tell you about Calm. Do you want to know what makes LeBron James, King James, sleep? That's right. Sleep is his superpower. Well, it's Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation. And they've teamed with LeBron James to help you activate the power of sleep. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, but you don't have to be a world champion to learn how to train it. Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, reduce your stress, and perform at your best, just like King James. For LeBron, sleep is a critical part of his mental fitness routine. And he says, quote, "Getting good sleep and find time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind. From the sound of rain falling on leaves to bedtime sleep stories, Calm puts me to sleep within minutes, which means I wake up ready for any challenge." So if you head to calm.com/lockedonNBA for a limited time, you'll get 40% off a Calm premium subscription. With Calm, you have access to the nature scenes LeBron loves, like rain on leaves, and so much more, like sleep stories and meditation, so you can be ready for any challenge that life throws your way. Again, for a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm and get a 40% discount on a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/lockedonNBA. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/lockedonNBA. That's calm.com/lockedonNBA. Man, I love meditation and I love the New York Knicks. We are back on Locked On Knicks, a 113-98 victory over the Milwaukee Bucks. Let's sing Julius Randle's praises because this entire season, or most of this entire season, has been spent crapping on him. And that sucks because Randle was such a positive influence on this team a year ago. And you look at what Julius Randle has done this year. If he had been doing this last year, coming off his first season in New York, which was an utter disaster, I think we would all be saying, oh my God, Julius Randle's amazing. He's passing so much better. Sure, he still ties up some possessions and takes some forced shots and feels like he has to be the alpha dog when he doesn't actually need to be the alpha dog. Sure, he falls asleep on defense occasionally, but wow, what an improvement. And tonight, we got the best of both worlds because we got the best of Julius Randle in year two. In 33 minutes, he had 32 points. He had 12 boards, 5 of them on the offensive end, and 4 assists. And let's just say it, going head-to-head with the two-time MVP, Giannis, he outplayed him. And they were guarding each other for a decent amount of this game. And this is what we've been begging for from Julius all year, right? After last season's playoffs, there was something to prove for Randle, right? He needed to come out and show, hey, I am that guy. I wasn't a fluky fifth place MVP finisher. I wasn't a fluky second team All-NBA. I am deserving of those accolades. And the way you do that is in the biggest games. And this was a big game, not just because the Bucks were the NBA's defending champion, but because of how the Knicks played the last two in tough situations. And this was most certainly a tough situation with the Knicks down by 21 points, going up against the best possible competition. That is Giannis. Julius showed exactly what the Knicks needed to see from him. He said, I am going to do everything in my power to win this matchup and drag my New York Knicks back from the dead and win this game. And that is exactly what we got from Randle on the night. He started off hitting a step back three, then had a relocation corner three off of an offensive rebound. Took a bad shot, forced a step back three against Giannis for no apparent reason, but then he got back into rhythm. A mid-range turnaround jumper, and I had to pause my TV and just go, classic, that's what I missed from Julius. Get to your spots, man. And he did exactly that. And then what I loved is it wasn't just last year, Randle. It was all the best of what we saw from him early in his career, which was being an athletic, physical force around the rim. Got a big board, got a putback. That capped off a 9-0 run for the Knicks. Then hit a three to cut the lead back to five after Milwaukee answered. Then dance into a step back long two, which was ultimately a bad shot. Comes back down. Offensive rebound, another layup. Second half, he hit RJ for a high arcing corner three over Grayson Allen. Then drew a foul on a jumper looking very similar to how he played a year ago, where he just had defenders on their toes because they're backing up, trying to make sure he doesn't get all the way to the rim. And all of a sudden he's dancing his way into a jumper and he can really shoot. So you have to contest it. You have to foul him. One of my favorite plays of the game, he shot clock winding down. He blew right by Giannis and then had a nasty, he was like facing opposite to the basket, went up and under, reverse layup, just gorgeous stuff. Looked like Derrick Rose, then hit a fadeaway. And through all of that was doing a really nice job guarding Giannis on the other end. So Julius Randle, when the Knicks absolutely needed him to, stepped up and came ready to play. I was going to go negative now and talk a little bit about the defense in the first quarter, which was really bad and inexplicably bad in some ways. But I want to keep it positive and shout out our guy, Nerlens Noel, making his season debut, played 24 minutes, had 6 points, 13 rebounds, 3 steals, and a block. And let me just say, the Knicks defense should not be an issue if Nerlens Noel can play like this. And maybe he can, because this was in some ways a generational defensive game. Sounds insane given the stakes of this one and that he only played 24 minutes. But it was really, really good. Another stat from our guy, Fred Katz. Noel finished with 9 deflections in 24 minutes. For context on how many that is, the league leader in the NBA usually averages about 4 deflections a game. So that is indicative of Nerlens Noel shifting the tenor of this one with his quick hands. It's almost like he has the butter hands on offense, which are still comically bad, just dropping passes left and right. But defensively, that lubrication works in his favor as he's able to dispossess oncoming opposition over and over and over again. So he comes off the bench, one-handed lob finish over Giannis. Giannis came back down and got an and one, but it was still really cool. Then had a flying come from behind block on Jordan Nwora. And you could see right away that energy in the second unit, as good as Taj is in terms of his positioning, as much as Jericho Sims. I don't really have anything good to say about how Jericho Sims has played so far this year, but Jericho Sims has been out there for some extent. As much as Jericho Sims, Nerlens is a different type of player. Then had fantastic quick hands to poke the ball away from Jrue Holiday. That led to IQ going coast to coast for a dunk. And plays like that are just ridiculous. When Nerlens at 6'11 or however tall he is, maybe he's only 6'9, but when he can just jet in and on a point guard of Jrue Holiday's caliber, just pick his pocket, that's abnormal. And then he did the same thing to Giannis. Giannis was trying to back him down, and Nerlens just looped around, long wingspan, knocked the ball out of play, making it absolutely huge difference. Then a poke away from Jrue Holiday. He was worth the money tonight, Nerlens Noel. The $30 million, I know it's not really $30 million, but the approximately $30 million with an option in the third year. A lot of me and Alex thought that was kind of crazy initially before we heard about the option. Now it's like, okay, I get it. This guy is one of the premier, to quote PD Webb, event creators on defense in the NBA. He won the Knicks this game. Along with Derrick Rose, along with Julius Randle, Nerlens Noel made a world of difference. So shout out to Nerlens in this comeback. All right, let's take our final break. And then I want to preview for you guys what we're going to talk about. We're going to get into the issues with double teaming, which I think ultimately not really a big deal. I think a lot of it is just this team not really knowing each other, all these guys playing together for the first time. I'm sure despite Tibbs's protestations to the contrary. Minimal practice time, just given that's how the whole NBA is trending. I think all of that will eventually be solved. We'll talk about RJ Barrett's fifth straight 20-point game. We'll talk about relative offensive struggles for Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier. We'll talk about IQ. Maybe that's the first thing we'll talk about. IQ having one of his best games of the season, and so much more coming up next on Locked On Knicks. But first, we got to tell you about Built Bar. I love Thanksgiving, all of the good food and treats and plenty of them. But maybe you want a yummy dessert that isn't so full of calories and sugar. It's the perfect time for Built Bars. Built Bar is the new holiday dessert. Feast on something delicious and feel good about it. One slice of pie has upwards of 300 calories, and that's on the low end. Most Built Bars are only 130 calories and only 4 grams of sugar with plenty of protein. Replace the coconut cream pie with coconut Built Bar. Or go to Raspberry Built Bar instead of the Raspberry Pi. Lots of good flavors to replace any pie. Low calorie, low carb, low fat, high protein, covered in 100% real chocolate. Built is a great option for when you're hungry. If Thanksgiving isn't coming soon enough, go for a Built Bar or two. Share some at your family gatherings. It will make things less awkward. Maybe Aunt Betty hasn't tried a Built Bar yet. New surprises all month, limited time flavors arriving at Built.com regularly, so check the site often. There's nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday. Mark your calendars. Black Friday will be a huge event with all sorts of surprises. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. And with that, we are back, third and final segment on Locked On Knicks. Let's start off. I know I promised IQ. We'll get to IQ, but I want to talk about the defense in the first quarter because it was just, this is a theme, but I'm surprised Tibbs didn't call a timeout. I'm surprised Tibbs didn't blow a gasket because it was really inexplicable. First couple of possessions of the game, RJ, he had a bad off-ball double on Grayson Allen, not a bad double. There were bad doubles to come, but just generally bad off-ball defense on Grayson Allen as he got fooled by a fake screen and ended up doubling Giannis, and Grayson was just left wide open to drain a three. Then Grayson Allen was the beneficiary again because Evan Fournier doubled Giannis Antetokounmpo, and no one rotated over to help. And that's, to me, that feels like a communication issue, something that will be resolved probably around game 15 or game 20. Another one, Drew Holiday. He was dribbling, and I can't remember how, but somehow Kemba Walker got switched onto Bobby Portis, and it led to Portis cutting to the basket because he said, I'm just going to post up Kemba Walker. And then RJ, and I think this wasn't necessarily the wrong move. He switches off Grayson Allen to go cover Portis, assuming that Kemba would peel off and take Grayson Allen. And that's something that you think Kemba would, I don't want to put this on Kemba because I don't know what the coverages are. I don't know what the responsibilities are. So it's hard to presume fault, but this is something the Celtics do a lot. That's called a scram switch. Usually when there's a small on a big and you need to get the small out of there ASAP, someone will run over and make the switch. And the people doing that are usually off the ball, so you don't create a disaster because no one's switching away from the guy that they're currently guarding with the basketball. Kemba did not get off Portis, and so Grayson Allen was just left wide open on the left wing for a three, which he happened to drain. This is an example of something that Alex and John were talking about on the last podcast, where it's, and I can't believe I'm saying this, it's the downside of having Kemba Walker over someone like Elfrid Payton. Literally the one downside, because there's not another one, where someone like Elf, you could say, all right, we don't have to switch that. If you want to post up Bobby Portis on 6'5", pretty strong Elfrid Payton, go ahead. Maybe he'll get a jump hook, but that's we're willing to live and die with Bobby Portis iso ball. You're not willing to live and die with Bobby Portis iso ball against Kemba Walker because that's just not a fair matchup. Anyways, at that point, it was something like a 14-0 Bucks run. Another one, I think this was in the second, Evan Fournier just inexplicably doubled Drew Holiday, who was posting up Derrick Rose. And Fournier, this one didn't make any sense because, look, Drew Holiday is one of the best guards in the NBA posting up. So in that sense, like that is on the scouting report. That's an emphasis maybe that you double in some situations there. But you got to double from one spot away, right? The closest defender has to come over and double, and then everyone can rotate, everyone can shift around, and maybe the Bucks eventually get a three out of that, but it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of good passing. But instead, Fournier comes over from, so this is Holiday posting up on the left block. Fournier comes over from the right wing. And that means that Holiday says, all right, where's the double coming from? I can see it a mile away because this guy is sprinting from 20 feet away. Oh, look, he vacated the opposite corner. That means someone's going to be wide open in that corner. Oh, look, it's Grayson Allen, who's already hit 7 3-pointers. Let me just pass it to him, and he'll make the wide open three. That is what happened. Grayson Allen at that point had outscored the New York Knicks, and the Bucks were winning 30-13. The good news in all this is that the Knicks, this is a relatively correctable issue, right? It's not the end of the world. The Knicks can fix this. It's just going to take coaching. It's going to take communication. And it's just going to take time playing together. All right, let's talk Emmanuel quickly, real quick, because this was his best game of the season. And it tells you that his season has not been very good because he only had 9 points. He only made 1 3-pointer, only had 1 assist, did have 3 steals, but he was a plus 18 in 18 minutes. And sure, a lot of that was benefiting from playing the majority of his time with Derrick Rose. But I think you could almost tell from the second he came out in this game, there was a little bit more swagger there. There was an energy. There was a fire to him that was really, really enticing. And I think that's why, I mean, I can only speak for myself, but that's why I fell in love with Emmanuel quickly a year ago, right? This was a guy who had this internal confidence. And this is something we talked about with Miren Fader when she came on the podcast last week. You should go back and listen to that if you haven't, because she wrote a great story on Emmanuel quickly and went into depth on it with us. But yeah, that's swagger. That is what defines whether or not it is going to be a good night for Emmanuel quickly. So he comes in, had a start, stop, blow by on Bobby Portis, then banked in a runner over Jrue Holiday. He danced his way into a wing three that was just absolutely gorgeous. Really nice defense on George Hill, harassing him to a turnover that led to a run out. And then another really nice play where he toasted Portis again, just blowing by a closeout, and then banked a floater over a charging Giannis, which has to be, if you're telling me someone is running at me with their hands up, like looking to just destroy my shot, I think it used to be LeBron, but at this point it's Giannis or Joel Embiid who probably lead the NBA in intimidation factor in that category, and IQ unfazed. Banked it in over that 15-foot Giannis wingspan. So that was really great. All right, quick hitters to finish up. Again, not a take-home night for Kemba Walker. 2 for 8, 1 for 5 from 3 in 15 minutes, 5 points, 1 assist, 1 rebound, 2 turnovers. Not really what you like to see from Kemba Walker. RJ Barrett, 20 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. Good night, not a great night for RJ, really inefficient. He was 8 for 21 from the field, 2 for 7 from 3. It felt closer to what we've gotten most of this season from RJ, but again, still flashes of why he's a different player. Like, I don't know, this is something I might ask Prez about if he ends up coming on this weekend. The jumper looks snappier this year, and I don't really know if that's the right adjective, but it's the one that comes to mind, right? It's just quicker, it's a little bit more in rhythm. He looks really good. Shooting the basketball. He also had a really nice crossover on Jordan Nwora to get to the rim for a lefty layup, showed off the floater again, had some good moments defensively, like he had good help on Jrue Holiday to force him to lose the ball and led to Randall running out and getting fouled on the other end. Had a couple more nice drives. It was okay. It was like a C plus game for RJ Barrett. Evan Fournier didn't have his shot in this one. He was similar to Kemba. I mean, he was just 2 for 7, 1 for 6 from 3. I did like that he had a really nice play where he crashed the boards at one point, got an offensive rebound. And I think that's what I really dig about Fournier. He is a gamer, and he finds a way to impact the action even when he's not shooting particularly well. And I think that's something I want to see more from Kemba Walker, even on nights where he's shooting well. And for Kemba, I don't think it's for lack of effort. I think what I'm scared about is that it's just lack of athletic ability at this point in his career. Because basically, if you're having a night where you're not a skill guy, where the shot isn't falling, where you can't thread the needle on certain passes, where you can't break people down off the dribble, you kind of got to rely on your effort. But I think the mistake people make is when they talk about an effort guy and they say, wow, he's just outplaying everyone. Effort is a skill. It is a type of athleticism. And Kemba for now, or probably forever at this point, lacks some of that. And like, he can't just be like, all right, I'm not shooting well, so I'm going to take over on defense, or I'm not shooting well, so I'm going to go get 12 rebounds. And that, not to circle back into Kemba criticism, but that is my concern, my issue at this point with Kemba Walker. All right, I'm just going to do a quick scroll, see if I have any final notes before we wrap this one up. But a big, big win for your New York Knicks. Relatively quiet night for Mitchell Robinson. This is something I'll continue to talk about with Alex, but I don't really know what to make of his season so far, other than I think in some ways it's been slightly disappointing, and I hope the longer we go in the year where he doesn't look the same defensively in terms of his mobility, in terms of his ability to contest out to the perimeter, in terms of his movement on offense to some extent, in terms of his quick leaping ability, seemingly never being able to win a jump ball. He might have won last night's. I honestly can't remember. The longer that goes on, I get concerned that this is just who Mitch is at this point, but I think it's still far too early to say that. Anyways, sorry to end on a pessimistic note. This was an incredible win for the Knicks. The New York Knicks are 6-3. The sky is not falling. There is a lot of reason to be excited. So until next time on Locked On Knicks, a reminder to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, a reminder to listen every day because we are on almost every day, and a reminder, more important than anything else, to please throw us a subscription on YouTube. It just takes a second. You can immediately mute the channel if you don't actually want to watch us, but if you're someone who only listens on the audio side, it really makes a substantial difference in our ability to continue to do these podcasts as a semi-full-time job if you go subscribe on YouTube. I think that is the future of this podcast, so for anyone who's a fan, I really, really do appreciate you taking a second and doing just that. So until next time, be good and peace out.